Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, so I'm very glad about that.
Yeah, I'm a little frazzled, actually, because a lot of stuff went down literally in the past 5 minutes, so I'm a little frazzled here. But anyway, I'm on and we're good.
Yep, show must go on, right?
Absolutely, show must go on. And in that opening Jason Aldean song, I literally scrambled that up within the past 30 seconds. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's okay. It's all good.
Yep. Oh, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been kind of sick the past couple of days, so that's not been fun.
Mm.
But aside from that, just same old, same old. Yeah.
What did you think about GH this week? I know on Twitter you had some pretty interesting things to say about it on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a really big week this week. There was a lot of stuff going on, you know, and a lot of very nuanced things, a lot of very, you know, kind of the bigger things, I would say, and a lot of very
mm-hmm.
sad things going on, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, the starting out the week with that big reveal about Ava's pregnancy.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that's some really good soap there, you know,
mm-hmm.
not knowing if Hunter and Morgan's the father of her baby. And if it's even, well, I guess it is legitimate, you know, I mean, she got a blood test done.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, that's got some extremely awesome soapy potential.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the whole Nina coming back thing. That was huge
mm-hmm.
this week. You know, just right there immediately inserting, you know, blowing up Silas and Sam, who had just reached a crucial stage in their
mm-hmm.
relationship where they had decided that they loved each other. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's awesome soapy stuff. And then, of course, the really, really, really sad and very tragic thing that happened with, you know, Gabriel and
right.
Patrick and Sabrina and mm-hmm. having to deal with that loss. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's – I'm never really a big fan of stories where they kill babies.
Right.
I think the braver choice would have been to have the baby survive and be in
mm-hmm.
a long-term story. But, of course, with Teresa Castillo having to leave for maternity leave, that's not
right.
something that was available. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least it was a story that got told. You know, that having, for your listeners, I don't know, I've been through that experience, but with a positive outcome. And
mm-hmm.
it's not an easy thing to go through at all. And
right.
I was very glad that as best they could, with the showbiz element in place, that they stayed to the integrity of the storyline.
True to it, yeah.
And they did. For the most part, I mean, there were some things that just feasibility-wise
mm-hmm.
you can't do on a TV
right,
show.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
for the most part, they tried to keep it very realistic. And the circumstances of Gabriel
mm-hmm.
dying as quickly as he did, that's very realistic for a baby that's born that early. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's something that happens. So
before we move on, I did want to give a – speaking of Teresa Castillo, I did want to give a huge congrats to her and her husband on the – birth of their little girl, Victoria.
Oh, absolutely. I bet that's going to be a beautiful child.
Oh, I bet it is. With, of course, Teresa is just gorgeous in and of herself. So
she
I
is.
Bet, yeah.
She's stunning, beautiful. I mean, just
mm-hmm.
absolutely stunning, beautiful.
I agree with that 100%. What were some of your favorite moments of the week on GH?
You know, the one that keeps coming back in my head, it was a small, subtle moment, but it really made a good impact, and I think it took a story in a positive direction that I've been frustrated with, is the moment where Nathan stepped up for Maxie at the trial, you know, or not at the
mm-hmm.
trial, but I guess at the meeting with the judge,
meeting,
you know, trying
right.
to get her trial date rescheduled.
Right,
that
was... Mm-hmm.
I've been very frustrated with Maxie since she came back from her, whatever it was, she went off to go find herself.
A spirit journey,
and found,
whatever
you know,
it was, yeah.
Yeah, and it, as much as the person that portrays him is awesome, the character of Levi is not so much. He's, and I mean, that just means he's playing him well because Levi is kind of controlling, isn't he?
But it
was nice to see Maxie get some of her confidence back and Nathan to be the one to step in to help it. And I think that they're probably setting up a triangle there with a clear rooting side, which is something we haven't
seen
on GH in a long time. So,
mm-hmm. you know,
that's kind
of nice. Levi, several weeks ago, I had the opportunity of conducting Zachary Yared's first ever U.S. phone interview.
Oh, he's a trip. He's funny. I love
him. He is hilarious.
He
He's absolutely hilarious. I will say this. We do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring him on, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Hi, guys. It's Leah.
At 215, you're on.
It's Leah.
Hey, Leah, how are you, girl?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Hi, Emily.
It's not Emily today, actually. It's Kathy.
Hi.
Yeah, but it's not Emily today.
Hello, how are you? Well, you asked me to call in, so I did.
Yeah. Emily's going to be a little bit late. She texted me and she's going to be a tad late to the show, so I can't do this.
That's okay. I'm not really watching
GH right now. I was sort of a last minute fill in.
Okay. I'm not really watching GH right now.
Right. I understand that.
Because I kind of hate it.
Kathy was, like I said, a sort of a last-minute fill-in, and she sort of saved our butts over here, didn't Kathy?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear part of that.
You sort of saved our butts over here, trust me.
Oh, well, you know, anytime. I love talking with you guys, and I love talking GH, so, you know,
right,
it's not a big deal at all.
Right. What do you like about the show, Kathy?
Well, right now, I mean, I think it's there are some places that need some work. I'm enjoying kind of the rounded storytelling. I'm not a big fan of the dropping the stories for long periods of time, which is happening. You know, it's kind of more like a novella style, and maybe it's not that I'm not enjoying it as much as it is. I just need to get used to it because it seems like a lot of the soaps are headed towards that direction of storytelling style. One thing I was just saying, one of the things I did enjoy this week is the moments. I'm really starting to enjoy the character of Nathan, or James Nathan, or whatever we're supposed to call him. He's really come a long way since he started, and the relationship with Max, he's starting to build in a way that I like. I'm liking that. I'm not a Sonny fan at all. I love Maurice Barnard, but I don't like Sonny. That said, the whole storyline going on right now with Sonny and Ava and Morgan, it's just great soap. It's hilarious, great soap. I mean, Sonny's life is exploding in his face, and as a person that doesn't like Sonny, I'm enjoying that quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish I would like to see more of, you know, the vets that they've kind of popped in and out with us. That was another good moment I liked this week was Max's talk with Levi. And, you know, the Levi saying some things that really were red flags, you know, that kind of indicate that he doesn't even respect Max's role as Maxie's father, you know, growing up. In taking care of, you know, Maxie as his little girl. So, I mean, there were some good moments this week. It kind of felt like it was more the side of the people I'm not as interested in, but they kept it interesting enough for me to keep coming every day. So I mean, there's a couple of things. There's some places where it definitely needs some work. I saw a tweet today between Richard Sims and Ron Colavati where he was saying that, you know, something about needing to see character moments that were all taking place off screen. And Ryan kind of took some offense to that, but I completely agree with Richard in that aspect because it's, you know, I want to see these moments where people are having character development. I don't want
people
to
see. Yeah, I saw that.
Really
Ron actually said he didn't want to bore people, and I find that surprising because, and I think I responded to that tweet and said something like that GH doesn't remind me of daytime TV anymore. It kind of reminds me of, like, primetime, where the story takes precedence and not really the character. You know how, like, if you watch, like, a primetime, like, Criminal Minds or something, you'll learn bits and pieces of the characters' lives, but the story for that week is the primary thing that soaks up the screen time, not the development of the characters. And so I kind of feel like that's how he treats GH. And it doesn't even feel like daytime soap, you know, because daytime soaps are so much more. The beauty of it is that it does air 5 days a week, and you can show so much more than you can, you know, one night a week. and I miss that. GH is very, very, very not, doesn't have a soap feel to me anymore.
Well, and I wonder, too, because, you know, there was a long period of time in between when I started college and, say, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Well, no, I guess it's been a little bit longer than that. Maybe 8 or 9 years ago I started watching GH again. And the thing that was the thing that was most in my face about how different soaps were when I came back to them was how quick the segments are and how short they were gearing the attention span of the viewer. You know, everything moved so quickly that it was all plot-oriented, and you didn't see as much character development. And that was especially true under Yuga. I mean, it just, things flew by, and you didn't really get to know anybody. There was no character development at all, in my opinion, from what I was watching. But I do see people on my timeline, you know, some kind of younger viewers, or I won't say younger necessarily, but people that started watching soaps during that whole period, where they don't like the long story at all, which is puzzling to me because that was one of the things that made me fall in love with soaps to begin with, was all that rich character development you got to see every day that we just don't see that often on soaps anymore. It's like they want us to, they start going for the long story and then they just truncate it off and moving on to the next thing. And it's like, you know, it's almost like they don't think that the viewers would have enough of an attention span to stay related. And I've actually seen some people talking on my timeline this week about how that is true for them. They don't want to see a long story form, which
I don't know if it's so much like long story, like it's stories taking longer, because I do agree stories can take way too long to come to fruition. So I don't mind story moving from story to story. I just mind the fact that they don't spend any time, like, delving, having conversations, like making the connection, the attachment to a character. They don't spend any time doing that, building things. Characters move from story to story. I just miss the fact that, like, I knew Anna when she was on the show in the 80s. Like, I understood her. I understood what made her tick, all these different things. I understood that about Robert and Frisco and, you know, Sean and Tiffany and all the characters back then. They were so, I understood how they would react in certain situations. Now the cast is just sort of thrown into stories, and I don't feel like, I like all these new characters, I have no attachment to them. I don't care. They could go away tomorrow and I wouldn't blink an eye. I would be like, whatever, bye-bye.
I think Guza
had a singular focus. Like, he only focused on a few characters, but he did develop them well. Like, he focused on Maxie and Spinelli a lot, and you knew Maxie and Spinelli. Like, you know, he focused on Carly, Jason, and Sunny. He had a bad focus. Like, I don't agree with what he focused on at all for as long as he did, but at least you know, he spent time under, so you could understand the characters. He had Luke kill his grandson, but I understood Luke's point of view, where Luke was coming from. I understood Lucky. Ron misses all those beats in his storytelling.
Right, and I do agree with that. I would like to see, you know, those things, those cool things that we hear that are happening off screen. You know, the whole thing with Silas saying that he and Rafe have been getting to know each other. Well, when?
Sure.
You know, or you know, the whole thing where Sam and Lucas have apparently decided that they're okay with Julian. Okay, but when did that happen? I want to see those moments where Mac is babysitting Emma. I want to see,
yeah,
you know, I want to see
look
that.
At all you got out of, look at all you got out of Robin and Patrick's relationship. Like, under, like, that whole relationship, I mean, you saw every single step of it. They broke up, they got back together, they got married. I mean, it was, like, complete. I mean, you used to see them just racing cars in on the floor, you know, and just doing stupid stuff. And there's not very much bonding. There's not. We're told, and you know what ticks me off is that, like, Maxie and Sam are friends, and they haven't shared any scenes, and both of them have been through big things, like, you know, and there's been nothing. And Danny's birthday party, Maxie wasn't there. That's really shocking. You know, those little things, and it's like he doesn't stick on the relationships. He, like, if you're not in the story, that person's story, you're not going to air with them. And I think the relationship should be the focus, not the story. And
now,
so
now
these threads continue.
there are a lot of things I really, really do think that that Cartini get right. The thing that struck me the most about when they took over was I realized when the first time I saw a scene, I think it was set somewhere in Sonny's house or whatever, but the first time I realized that it had been years since anybody had shown daylight outside of a window on that show. And it was just so, so dark. And I mean, I don't necessarily mean in tone for writing, although it certainly was during the Guzacon, but just the lighting and the music and things like that, little small changes that they made in production values that have made all the difference with the Cartini regime that I have really, really enjoyed. The canvas being more balanced, interacting with each other. Now, certainly I'm not seeing enough of those character beats I would like to see, but it is better than it used to be. You don't see people isolated off into their own little character islands anymore. And so I do enjoy that. There are some times that I get very frustrated, but also compared to, say, Days of Our Lives, which is only good during sweeps these days, I'll take it.
I don't watch that one. I haven't watched Days since Jen and Jack first got married and Hope went into the bath of acid and Carly and Bo and, Alamania or whatever it was and trip to them getting married in the pyramids, Bo and Carly. I haven't watched Days in, oh, my God, Carrie and Austin, she slapped her on her wedding. Like, these are my memories of Days. They go way back to, like, the 80s and probably the early 90s. I used to watch that in Another World back-to-back. And once Another World, a year or so before Another World was canceled, I stopped watching it about 2 years before it was canceled. And I constantly had also stopped watching Days. So I haven't seen it. I don't even know what time of day it's on.
Well, I mean, there are some good things going on that show, but unfortunately, most of them happen during sweeps, and then you're stuck in limbo until the next sweeps period for anything fun to happen. So,
that's what Guzzi used to do. He used to do these big, grand sweep stories, and then everything else all year long was like, what?
Well, and all the big sweep stories usually ended in another quartermain death.
Oh, that's horrible. And actually, I'm really mad about that. I haven't talked to Murphy or Emily. Are you guys mad about AJ's death? I'm furious.
I was a little ticked. I will be honest. I was a little ticked.
I was fuming mad. I was furious. Like, I was livid about them killing AJ a second time and having Sonny shoot him point blank. Like, I didn't even watch the scenes. My sister's like, I taped it if you want to come over and watch it. I was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Sonny kill AJ. I don't want to see that. I didn't watch any of it. Not a thing.
Yeah.
I was so livid that I get so mad about the Quartermains because, like, when I started watching in the 80s, like the mid-80s, they were such a cool family. Like, everything else was contradictory to them. Everything else was cool and, like, hip and, you know, adventurous. And then there were them. They were quirky and backstabbing and fun. And there are, you know, there are things to do with them. I just got so mad when they did that. I was like, what the hell are they doing? And then, you know, Carly and Sonny already look horrible. And now they're like monsters. Literally, they're like monsters. I can't stand them. I can't.
Yeah, I definitely threw my own little Twitter tantrum when AJ got killed. I was not happy about that because Alan was one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm a huge Jared Damon fan.
Oh, I loved Alan.
And just to think that, you know, basically all his kids have been killed and Monica's left there alone in that mansion and we see Tracy.
Well, this is a good point. You might agree with this. That house is one of the biggest sets the show probably has. It has an upstairs, you know, it has two floors. It has an outside. It probably is one of their most big and expensive sets, right? But, however, it houses two women over 60. Two women over 60 years old are the only people that live in it, technically, and Luke or Fluke, whoever it is.
Hey, ladies,
that is a waste of space.
I think we've got Emily on the line. Hold on.
Oh.
All right.
Hello.
Hey,
that's a waste of space to me. Hi, Em.
Hey, what's up, Em?
I'm here. I'm still in the car, but I wanted to call before the show ended because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to call.
Better late than never.
Absolutely. Better late than
never. Yeah, I told you I would.
Yeah. Who, wait, is it just Leah online or is there somebody else?
It's
no,
Leah.
Me and Kathy.
And Kathy.
Oh,
it's Kathy
hi,
too.
Kathy.
Hey, guys.
I texted Kathy. I was like, you have to call Cody. You can't. We can't just leave him. No, because I didn't realize. Okay, so we went to the store, and I did not realize the traffic was like this. But apparently everybody decided it was a good idea to leave the house right now. And, like, there's, like, 5 million cars. So, yeah, awesome. Anyway, whatever.
We've taken good care of him, but I don't think we've let him get a word in edgewise the entire time.
So. Okay, so what are we talking about? I heard somebody say something about making, or somebody was complaining about the Quarterman house when I called.
Well,
we were talking
about how we were bringing income to the Quartermain bingo on.
Well, I mean, they could bring back so many of them.
Well, they're all dead. That's the problem there.
No, they're not.
They
Dylan, they could recast Dylan. They could bring back Brooklyn. They could bring on Sky. They could age Lila Ray. They could bring, you know, they could recast Jason. They could do lots of things. They could totally fill that house again.
Sky? What happened to Sky? Like, where did she even go? She was at
Edward
died. She was there. I don't even know where she's at.
The last time we saw Sky, she went through Valley. The last time we saw Sky, she was looking for Lorenzo Alcazar, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember the Lorenzo thing.
See, I wonder if Sky can't come back because she is an original All My Children character.
I wonder if they don't have the licensing for her. Wait,
because
was she originally an AMC?
Sky was originally an AMC character brought over to General Hospital. She also went to Women to Live for a period of time. And I don't think they had the license for her to have her appear on the show again.
I think I remember reading somewhere online where she was established because she, the last show that she had been on was DH, that she pretty much grew out of it then.
Yeah, and her kid. Well, her kid's not an original AMC
character. I think they should age Lila Ray and pair her with Morgan. Because Lila Ray's father was killed by Jason, and Jason is technically family to Morgan. And that's a great...
Yeah.
Well, plus, he needs someone his freaking own age. Would he stop kissing all these old women? Like, I just want to... I'm like, Morgan, you have mommy issues sometimes.
Wait, okay, so, yeah, the kid can't come back. I don't know about Sky, because now that you mention it, they don't own Sky. But they own the little girl. So,
yeah, I mean, I think they have enough people that are little, like Emma, Cameron, Ace. I mean, and
yeah,
now they've got Jocelyn. It's enough. They just need, you know, they just need some of these kids. There's too many kids on the canvas.
A while back I had read that they cast Dylan, but we never saw him. So I don't know what went wrong there.
I think that was
probably a lie.
It
probably dropped like everything else. So.
I absolutely love Dylan. Dylan is such a fun character. I would love to have him back. Lulu and Dylan.
I would too.
Or Maxie and Dylan. That'd be awesome.
They need to bring back some good characters and get rid of all these newbies.
Well, I wonder if they've got plans to bring Dylan, but they've got so many. I mean, you know, there's been rumors swirling around about Billy Miller coming back in as something.
See, I want Billy Miller to come back as Jason.
I mean, you know, I think that they could really take, you know, they could take, I'm not a Jason fan. I'm just not. I'm actually not
a Jason fan as he left the show, but, and I'm not a Steve Burton fan either. But if Billy Miller came on and played, like, Jason Q and Morgan, if they gave him back his memories, I would totally love that.
That would be such a great story. That would be.
Oh, my God. He totally needs to remember both his lives so he can live in contradiction. That's what I
and
want.
Emily
I
just
want the
dropped.
Drama. I want the drama.
Hmm? We just lost Emily, y'all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we just lost Emily.
She'll probably call back.
I think they totally should have given Jason his memories back during one of those times he was shot in the
head. And she's back. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, what
happened, Em?
My call.
And you know what? Emily,
wow.
You just keep. And you know what? If they brought Jason back with his memories, then it's not necessarily a given what happens to him. And I kind of like that.
No, yeah. I think that would be a fantastic story to see Jason recused and have to account and instead all the terrible things he did when before
to his
he was training. Well, and before he was training, you know, he was becoming a healer. He was becoming somebody that wanted to save lives.
Yeah.
And he became somebody who took lives for a living. And that's a pretty heavy mental thing to go through,
and
I would think.
Look at what happened to his father and his sister and his, you know, brother because of him. I mean, it's a great story to give him back his memory at this point. He has lived.
Yeah,
and the audience has seen him do horrible things, you know. It's not like it's just, like, told to you. We actually saw it. For like 10 years, I think that's the best thing they could do would be to bring him back as a Q and a Morgan, and let him remember Sam, and let him remember his dad and everything else.
Yeah.
So here's hoping my Robin brings him back whole.
Any or no? Okay, they really are starting to bore me, and so I think it would be cool to bring Jason back and sort of like throw him in the mix.
Who's starting to bore you?
Silas.
I don't. Cool. I'll just put it out there. I don't care for Silas and Sam.
I don't like them.
Like Michael and Kelly. I mean, I love John and Sam.
Yeah.
I love Caleb and Livy. But I don't like Silas. That's my problem.
I agree with you. I can't get into Silas and Sam. And I was actually digging him and Nina today. Like, I was, like, rooting for them. I was like, kiss. Like, I was, like, rooting for them. And I think crazy step for life, but it doesn't matter because I kind of want them back together.
If anybody from Twitter
they're going to get mad at me, but I don't care.
Oh, well. Oh, everyone from Twitter gets mad at me too, but the bottom line is that I love Michael and Kelly. I think they do have chemistry. They have insane chemistry. However, they're just like, I'm not loving the story. Again, here we are.
I don't
like what they've written for them, just like I don't like Franco. I love Roger and Lara, but guess what? I hate Franco. And I'm always going to hate Franco, and it's not going to change.
And I feel like the Silas and Sam thing, it was like we knew it was going to happen. It was so inevitable that it was really boring because it was like we know they're going to get together. But he's like, I like them together. I like both actors. But as a couple, their story is kind of boring. All they do is talk about his ex-wife, like, or not ex-wife, presumed dead, back from the dead wife. Like, that's all they did for 3 months. I just don't care. Like,
well, with Silas and Sam, the chemistry is definitely off the charts. But
yeah.
I was more interested in them at first when they were getting together, and you know, because that chemistry is so great. But it's like the storyline is just weighed down on them. And at some point I realized that they quit developing Silas, really. I mean, we know he's got a wife, and we've heard more about her than we really have about him and who he is. And I realized that. Well, I'm probably comparing it, but oh my gosh, Sam was so much better with McBain.
Sam was 1,000 times
sure.
better with McBain. She was 1,000 times better with McBain. When they brought John Todd and Star over,
so out of character
it was,
now.
They were so good. The three of them were so good on the show. They fit perfectly.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have brought them back as new characters. They should have left well enough alone. And I actually supported them bringing them back at the time. But now that they've done what's happened, I want them all to go away.
Well, and yet
they can
I'm
come back as John Todd and Star when they get the licensing. When they get the licensing
so
straightened out, bring them back a year or so from now.
Yeah.
Hey,
Ali
and Kathy, we've only got about 10 minutes left of this archive stream, so I'm gonna OSO go so me and Em can wrap up here, okay?
Okay. Good night.
It was fun.
Thanks, guys, for covering for
TGIS.
Me.
Yep.
TGIS.
Thanks for covering for me, Kathy.
No problem. See y'all later.
All right.
Bye.
All right, bye, y'all. Well, we had a bit of a interesting adventure before you called in.
It's so doomed. Like, I feel like our Friday night show is just so doomed. Like, the week before last, I was doing it with Kathy. It all went to hell because everything got messed up. This week, I didn't even know traffic was that bad. I don't know what's going on. I know it's the last day of school for everyone around here, so there's a ton of travel traffic. And we just got stuck in this awful traffic, and I was like, oh, showtime, and I'm not home. So I feel like our Friday night show is just, like, doomed to have a disaster every time.
Real quick, who was your prime performer this week?
Okay, I have a couple of them. Okay, just because personal favorites, I picked Laura, right, just because the whole Carly Ava showdown, I was, like, rooting for Carly, and I'm like, you run this town. You go, girl. You get it. And also, Teresa as Sabrina, even though I wasn't really into that because she's a good actress, but I just didn't really feel, like, connected with that because, I don't know, I didn't really connect with the story. Sonya Eddy, that was, like, she stood out for me. When she started crying, she made me cry on Tuesday.
That broke me.
Yeah.
That broke me.
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah. I wasn't really connecting with the thing, like, I just wasn't connecting with the story, and it just wasn't moving me emotionally. Not that they're not talented, but Sonya breaking down, I was like, kill me, everyone.
you know, I have so many prime performers this week that I'm just giving it to the entire cast.
Okay.
It's just that simple. It's the entire cast. Get the prime performer of the week. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, it was a great week. Everybody was really good. And the whole, today's episode was really citizens of Port Charles telling other citizens that Ava's pregnant. Like, that was good. Like, that was just what happened today, is everybody telling, oh, I was so mad, okay, because you know I'm a Sonny and Olivia fan. Not that I think that she should stay with him because he doesn't deserve her, but I still root for him because they're my couple.
Right.
When they were like, let's work it out, I felt that chemistry like they had in the very beginning, and I was like, yes, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then Olivia, or Ava comes in and just it all, and she did that on purpose just to be conniving, and I was like, I hate you.
Right. I understand.
Now. And, yeah, but she's been amazing, to be honest, and she's making me hate her. Like, Ma,
absolutely.
I love you, babe, but you're making me...
the Sonny Morgan showdown today was kind of epic too, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. But my favorite showdown of the week was Carly and Ava because it was amazing how Sonny was like, I know what I'm going to do. And she's like, what? And he's like, you can take care of it. Like, his threat is putting Carly on somebody. Like, I love that. And then
I think I put this on Twitter. I go, round one goes to Carly, I think. I put that on Twitter or something like that. And then,
yeah, and I love when she was like,
then,
he's like, think of the baby, Carly, you don't want to do this. And she's like, yeah, I do it. When her the baby, if I punch her in the face.
That was an awesome line. I will say that.
Yeah, I just love her. She runs that town, let's face it. She's what
she does.
Carly's
just,
right now, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, they're writing Sam really out of character. So.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I miss the ride or die Sam McCall. Like, they're writing her, like, into this total, like, sweet little innocent, it's just not how she is. And Carly is how Carly should always be, and she's how Sam should be right now. Like, Carly's running the whole town, and, like, she doesn't take anyone's crap, and she's going to protect her family no matter what.
Right. You know, I think that about covers everything I wanted to cover. You can listen to what you missed in the archives. You can listen to it.
I will. And I just wanted to. I'm gonna do something like really fast because I missed out that portion. So everybody knows probably that Williams on our show at 6 o'clock, and then next week we have this show, which is hopefully not going to be Doom. And also, there's like this, I just read this really fast, there's a new rumor posted, they just posted this like 5 minutes ago on Huge Happening, that Tom Hardy Jr. in the form of Jameel Walker Smith, the biracial grandson of Steve Harvey, son of Tom Hardy and Simone, may be coming to Port Charles. And then somebody is going to die. It's in the official spoilers that somebody is going to die, but it doesn't say who. It's going to impact everyone in Port Charles. So I'm not sure who it is. Because I know that down the road something's supposed to happen with Rafe, but this is like soon. Like this is like the next week.
Right.
So I'm not sure. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I did want to say I'm working on a couple things. A good friends of the show and dear friends of mine, could be returning to the show in the very near future. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
But you know who they are, but I'm not going to name names because I want it to be a surprise for y'all.
Also, I want to say two quick things because I know we have about 5 minutes left. Two quick things.
Yeah.
Number one, for everybody who listens to our show with Mary Beth Evans, you know that her and I had a debate over how old Florence Henderson was. And I know that Mary Beth doesn't tweet, so I can't tell her because she told me to look it up. So I did look it up. Florence is 80, so we were close. Both of us were close. So just Mary Beth, if you ever listen to this, she's 80. Also, thank you so much to Mandy at the Beta Series because she has made this most generous offer of offering to help us get anyone we want on the show. And she's also going to send me a box, like a package of Patch and Kayla DVDs so I can watch their stories because I'm really interested now. So thank you, Mandy, for being my new best
thank
friend.
Thank you, Mandy. you are officially a friend of the show now, Mandy. So,
yeah, Mandy, we love you.
Yes, we love you to death, Mandy. Anyway, we've only got, like I said, 4 or 5 minutes. I did want to make an announcement or two. I think you've already announced it, though. And next week we have
a
next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we have a singer-songwriter, Amanda Williams, on the show. Now, I am a big, big, big music fan. And the strangest thing happened. She actually started following me on Twitter, which is kind of weird because...
Yeah, she followed me, too, before I even followed her.
Exactly.
So,
which is weird because...
Yeah.
99% of the guests I'd like to see on the show, I'll follow them. So that was kind of weird. I woke up one morning and I had a plethora of
we end the show.
Of country music stars. Well, independent country music singers. Following me, so I kind of I scratched my head and I went, what in the world is going on here? So so I followed Amanda back and asked her on the show.
Got her on our show.
And she'll be on next Tuesday, like I said. And I'm working on something else for another independent singer. Her name's Elena. I'm working on that. Hopefully that's next Friday. That's next Friday, I'm hoping.
Well, that's really cool. I do want to say two quick things before we end the show because I know that we only have 3 minutes left. Number one, I want to say, okay, I don't know what night, Wednesday night I think it was the CMT Awards, and like shout out to the band Perry for winning favorite band.
Right.
I'm so jealous of you right now, and please go hug Laura right for me because I can't be there to hang out with Laura and Jason. So, shout out to everyone that got to go.
All right, I think that'll about do it. So I'm going to let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay, Em?
All right, cool. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our little impromptu show with Kathy before Emily called in. As I said, next week, at 6 p.m. Eastern on the 10th, we're having a singer-songwriter, Amanda Williams, on the show with us. It should be fun, and I'm sure y'all don't want to miss that. And I think with that, I think I'm going to end the show right here. You've been listening to A Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.